People in Iran hold rallies to condemn a recent desecrating move by French magazine Charlie Hebdo. Iran marks the third anniversary of the tragic downing of a Ukrainian passenger plane near Tehran. Also in the headlines, the end of zero COVID policy. China lifts quarantine requirements for inbound travelers after nearly 3 years. Thanks for joining us. Iranians reacting to French magazines insulting Islamic sanctities and the country's religious and national values. Foreign Ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani called on French authorities to follow the basic principles of international law. That's mutual respect and honoring religious values of other countries. Kanani said that Paris does not have the right to insult other religions. Iran's parliament speaker has also reacted to the sacrilege. Mohammad Bagher Ghalibaf says the move by the French magazine is rooted in their failure in fanning riots in Iran. Ghalibaf stressed that the enemy resorts to insults out of desperation. Meanwhile, Iranians have gathered in the cities of Tehran and Qom to denounce the move. The French weekly Charlie Hebdo on Wednesday published cartoons of Iran's religious and political authorities. The magazine has infamous track records of insulting the Prophet of Islam also. A top Iranian military commander has reiterated Tehran's resolve to take revenge on those responsible for the assassination of General Qasem Soleimani. Chief Commander of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps said this will be done sooner or later, and the perpetrators will be brought to justice. Hossein Salami hailed General Soleimani, saying the late commander was at the forefront of the fight against terrorism. The IRGC chief said Soleimani rendered enemies' plots ineffective. Salami also hailed the massive participation of Iranians in General Soleimani's funeral. Top Iranian general has hailed the country's retaliatory missile strikes on the U.S. Ain al-Assad air base in Iraq 3 years ago today. Brigadier General Amir Hatami says the attack shattered the U.S. delusions of grandeur in the region and beyond. The military aide of Iran's to Iran's leader described the strikes as lightning fast, courageous, and devastating. The raid was carried out in retaliation for the assassination of Iran's top commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps unleashed more than a dozen ballistic missiles on the base in western Iraq. It caused significant damage, and the Pentagon said more than 100 American forces suffered traumatic brain injuries. Iran called it a first slap in the face of the U.S. and vowed harsher revenge in the future. Journalist and commentator Saeed Zafar al-Mahdi has told us about the repercussions of the Ain al-Assad missile strikes that Iran staged in retaliation for the assassination of General Soleimani.
What we witnessed this day 3 years ago was truly unprecedented, and sent a strong message that Iran can strike and decimate all U.S. military bases in the region. The message went across very clearly. You know, the barrage of ballistic missiles that pounded the sprawling U.S. military base in Iraq three years ago this day came after prior warnings from Iran. And those warnings allowed the U.S. military personnel to disperse on the base and sent them rushing to bunkers. And that actually prevented major losses. But obviously, it resulted in severe brain injuries to hundreds of U.S. personnel. They almost were killed. Iran could have launched the strike without prior warning, and it could have killed hundreds of U.S. military personnel. But this carefully measured response in the form of these series of precision missile strikes on the U.S. base was turned out to be a game changer. You know, it came as a shock to military hawks in Washington, and it made it clear that Iran can do whatever it wants. But as the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, said after that attack, it was a mere slap on the face of U.S. military-industrial complex. The real revenge is still pending, and that is the complete expulsion, the disgraceful exit of U.S. forces from the region, not only from Iraq, but from all countries in the region.
Iran is also marking the third anniversary of the tragic downing of a Ukrainian passenger plane near Tehran. Ukrainian flight PS752 was en route to Kiev and was shot down shortly after taking off from Imam Khomeini Airport. All 176 people on board were killed. Iran acknowledged days later that the mismanagement of an air defense UNIS radar system by its operator was the key human error that led to the accident. At the time of the incident, Iran's air defenses were on high alert in anticipation of a potential U.S. attack. Hours before the tragedy, Iran had launched a missile strike against a U.S. base in Iraq, retaliation for the assassination of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. Tehran has launched an investigation into the crash and promised that all those culpable would face justice. At the same time, Iran has warned against any foreign political exploitation of the incident. Author and activist Frau Hughes tells us how the West wants to portray the tragic downing of the plane as intentional.
It suits the people in the West. It suits the Western governments. It suits their narrative of demonizing the Iranian government, of claiming that they deliberately targeted the plane, deliberately murdered their own citizens. 176 people died on the plane in that tragedy that day. So it suits Western imperialist hegemonic narrative that the kind of people in charge in Tehran, the people involved in the government and the higher sections of the military are involved in some kind of repression of their own people, or they're that careless or that thoughtless or that wantonly cruel that they have no concerns for the people who died that day. And yet the whole of Iran mourned those 176 deaths. The whole country mourned a tragic accident. And the people involved, I'm sure, have had to live with the guilt and have had to live through the investigations to find out if there's any culpability to be had other than human error in a time of tense political crisis.
Washington's animosity toward Tehran continues unabated. In a new move, the U.S. has slapped a new set of sanctions against Iran, accusing the Islamic Republic of sending drones to Russia. The U.S., of course, has a long history of imposing such measures, targeting Iranian individuals and entities. But what is the U.S. really seeking by maintaining such an approach?
The United States has yet again imposed a fresh round of sanctions against the Islamic Republic, this time targeting the country's suppliers of drones Washington claims Russia has been using in the war in Ukraine. The sanctions targeted six executives and board members of Kos Aviation Industries. The U.S. Department of Treasury said the group, which has been under U.S. sanctions since 2013, was a key Iranian defense manufacturer responsible for designing and producing drones. Washington said the drones have been used to target civilian infrastructure in Ukraine during the conflict with Russia. Among those designated was Sayed Hojatollah Qureshi, Quds Aviation Industries board chairman and senior official in Iran's Ministry of Defense and Armed Forces Logistics. The Treasury said Qureshi had led Iran's military research and development efforts and was responsible for negotiating Iran's agreement with Russia for the supply of the Iranian drones for the war in Ukraine. The Treasury also imposed sanctions on Qasem Damovandian, Quds Aviation Industries managing director and board member. It said he had likely facilitated the group's supply of drones to Iran's military services and the training of Russian personnel on the use of drones. The accusations come as Iranian officials say Ukrainians have so far failed to provide any evidence for their claim that Russia was using Iranian drones in its war on Ukraine. Speaking following a technical meeting between Ukrainian and Iranian experts, Iran's Defense Minister Brigadier General Mohammad Reza Ashtiani said the Ukrainian side had stopped short of presenting any evidence of Russia's use of Iranian drones in its war in Ukraine. Prior to that, Iran's Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian had also reacted to the U.S. and other Western countries' allegations, noting that Tehran had provided Moscow with a limited number of drones, but the delivery had taken place months before the war in Ukraine. The sanctions come as the U.S. Treasury says it will continue to use every tool at its disposal to deny Russian President Vladimir Putin the weapons he is using to wage his unprovoked war in Ukraine. The Friday sanctions also targeted the director of Iran's Aerospace Industries Organization, which the Treasury claimed was the key organization responsible for overseeing Iran's ballistic missile programs. The move freezes any U.S. assets of those designated and generally bars Americans from dealing with them. Those engaged in certain transactions with the targeted individuals also risk being hit by sanctions. The United States has previously imposed sanctions on companies and people it accused of producing or transferring Iranian drones that Russia has used to attack infrastructure in Ukraine.
Even though Iran has provided its drones prior to when Russia's military operation began in Ukraine, the U.S. and its allies are continuing with their weapon assistance. They are poised to deliver a variety of armored fighting vehicles to Ukraine. For example, Germany will supply Martyr fighting vehicles and Leopard tanks. France will send light armored combat vehicles. And the U.S. will provide Bradley fighting vehicles to Ukraine, which is set to take out tanks. Yet Iran is the one being targeted and sanctioned by the U.S.
The military-related sanctions on Iran are just a small part of the U.S. so-called maximum pressure campaign against the Islamic Republic. Washington has left no stone unturned in pressuring Tehran to fulfill its demands, given that the so-called maximum pressure policy has so far failed to produce the intended result. It is widely believed that by pressuring the government and subsequently the people of Iran, what the United States is and has been pursuing after 40 years of the Islamic Revolution is seeking regime change. The sanctions against Iran over its supply of drones to Ukraine comes as the West has itself been fanning the flames of the Ukraine war by providing billions of dollars worth of military assistance to Kiev. That includes the United States, Germany, France, and the UK. The weapons they provide range from Martyr fighting vehicles and Leopard tanks like AMX-10RC armored combat vehicles and Abrams tanks. This is while providing Kiev with such weaponry could increase the risk of direct confrontation between Moscow and the West. Iran has been under the UN and US sanctions since the 1979 revolution. What comes to the spotlight is the futility of such all-out anti-Tehran measures. Despite 40 years of pressure and sanctions on the Islamic Republic, not only Iran has not stopped, but it has progressed, so the sanctions tactic has lost its effectiveness in a sense. This rather indicates that the United States seems to be escaping the frustration caused by its failure against the Iranian nation's iron will. The resilience of Iran's economy is not the only reason why the unlawful American maximum pressure campaign of sanctions against Tehran has failed. The maximum pressure policy against Iran was initiated by former U.S. President Donald Trump when he unilaterally pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal to strike a better agreement, which he hoped would restrict Iran's ballistic missile program and its influence in West Asia. Eventually, his hopes and aspirations became more and more far-fetched with each passing day. Now the Trump-imposed sanctions regime has been maintained by the Biden administration, although they realize it has been an abject failure. Could this be because they see no alternative course of action? What seems to be of very high significance is the fact that the Biden administration has realized that Trump's so-called maximum pressure campaign not only didn't work, but only helped strengthen the Islamic Republic of Iran in the international arena. Yet Iran stands. How so? Iran's economy and partners are diversified with initiatives to circumvent such U.S. measures.
Iran's parliament speaker has headed for Turkey to participate in the Asian Parliamentary Assembly. Parliament Speaker Mohammad Bagher Ghalibaf is to attend the 13th meeting of the APA member states at the invitation of his Turkish counterpart Mustafa Shentop. Parliament speakers and representatives of 44 member states will be attending the two-day event that will get underway on Monday. The top parliamentarian told reporters that the conference is important for promoting peace and stability at this sensitive juncture. The Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi is also scheduled to pay an official visit to Turkey in the near future. China has officially ended its quarantine requirements for inbound travelers after nearly 3 years, despite struggling with a nationwide surge of COVID cases. All travelers are still required to test negative for COVID-19 within 48 hours of departure. Mainland China has also opened its border with Hong Kong. Beijing last month began a dramatic dismantling of a hardline zero-COVID strategy. that involved mandatory quarantines and grueling lockdowns. The containment policy had generated resentment throughout China and led to nationwide protests just before it was eased. The UK Prime Minister calls for radical actions to reform Britain's crisis-hit healthcare system. Rishi Sunak made the remarks in an emergency meeting with British health leaders. He said bold moves should be taken, like the ones during the COVID pandemic, to resolve the crisis. The meeting comes as the UK is witnessing a rare strike by health workers who want a salary hike at a time when inflation has soared to record levels in the country. Britain has faced a wave of industrial action over the last few months, with strikes crippling various sectors. The government is planning to introduce a new law that would make it harder for key workers to strike. And that is the World News. Bye-bye for now.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of radio.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, January 8, 2023. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is a Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And of course, if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. So please don't go away and keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, the Sunday program. And here we've received reception reports from around the world from Mazhab Chandra Sagur from India, Fabio Junior da Silva from Brazil, and Lars Escoland from Sweden. So, Mazhab Chandra Sagur, Fabio Junior da Silva, and Lars Escoland, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And we've received piles of letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here, and later during the program, I will read these great emails. Nico Genoves from Italy has sent us an email. Alexei Kolakov from Russia has sent us a message. Shah MD Mukarram Hussein from Bangladesh has sent us a piece of email. Again, from Bangladesh, we've received an email from MD Mizanur Rahman. And then last but not the least is an email from Reginaldo Anunciação from Brazil. Stay with us, please. Again, welcome to the program. Here we have an email from Italy from Nico Genoves. So let's see what Nico says. Dearest friends, I thank you for your warm wishes, which I reciprocate with affection. Let's hope this 2023 will be a better year for all of us. A year of peace and joy. Peace and joy have been the feelings that have accompanied my family's Christmas memories since I was a child. I'm originally from Messina, Sicily. It was tradition in my family to bring all members together at the table. Often the relatives who lived further away and those we hardly saw each other during the rest of the year gathered around the same table to share happy moments. Now I live in Terracina, a town about 100 kilometers from Rome, and the traditions have not changed. We try to be together as much as possible with the family, only that the roles have changed. Now I am no longer that little boy who was anxiously awaiting the arrival of Christmas and especially the New Year, but now I am a parent who tries to make their children experience the same magic. Dear friends, I greet you again and wish you a serene and fruitful 2023. Nico Genovese from Italy. Salam. Ciao. Warm greetings to you. And thank you very much for this email. It was very interesting. I mean, sharing your Christmas and New Year experiences with us and with our great listeners around the world. On behalf of all IRIB English Radio staff, I congratulate you. And of course, all our Christian listeners and friends on the start of 2023. And we wish you all the best. Nico Genovese from Italy. We in Iran celebrate the new year in spring on the first day of the Iranian month of Farvardin. We call it Nowruz, meaning the new year. Anyway, I appreciate you for sharing your new year and Christmas experience with us. It was really kind of you. So, Nico Genovese from Italy, please accept our EQSL as verification. We wish you all the best and we wish a very happy new year 2023 to you and your family members. Please write to us soon and, of course, tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. And from Russia, we've received an email from Alexei Kolakov. Let's see what Alexei tell us. Sorry for the late reply. I want to congratulate you and all listeners on the occasion of the new year. Happy New Year 2023. Wish you more happiness, health and peace. With very best wishes from Russia. Salam and warm greetings to you. Alexei Kolakov from Russia. These warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And Happy New Year 2023 to you, Alexei Kolakov from Russia. We wish you all the best. We wish you peace, joy, love, and good tidings to you in 2023. And wish you more happiness, health, and peace. Please write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. And after a short break, I will be back with you with other emails and letters from around the world. Welcome back. As for your information, you just heard a piece of music, Iranian music from southern Iran. I like it very much. And Shah MD Mukarram Hussein from Bangladesh has sent us an email. Let's see what Shah MD Mukarram Hussein from Bangladesh says. Dear IRIB English Radio, I'm very happy that you wished me joy and prosperous year in my crisis time. Few days ago, when it was only me and my mother at home, suddenly she fell down on the floor and lost consciousness. Thank God that time I was present and close to my mother and could take her to the hospital as soon as possible. After taking a CT scan of brain, we found that there is something wrong with her brain. So now I request you and all the listeners of your radio by my heart to make a special prayer for my mother. Thank you. Salam and warm greetings to you, Shah MD Mukarram Hussein from Bangladesh. And thank you for this email. We are so sorry for what happened to your mother. And of course, we all pray for her to recover soon and get better soon. Good health is the greatest gift, I think, that God grants us. So we ask God to give you, your mother, and all your family members good health and prosperity. We are so sorry for this incident. Please write to us soon and let us know if your mother is in a good condition and if she is okay. We all pray for her from the bottom of our heart. Shah MD Mukarram Hussein from Bangladesh. Please write to us soon. Thank you for this email. Again, from Bangladesh, we've received an email from MD Mizanur Rahman, one of our old and regular listeners. MD Mizanur Rahman says, "Dear IRB English Radio, I like your reports about international news. Your reports and news programs provide me with the information that I want. Your website is very informative. Anybody can get news and reports on current issues in the world from your website. I thoroughly enjoy learning about your culture and your country. You created an atmosphere where every seeker of the real events can get the gist without sweat, especially through your website updates. I regularly visit this website and get a lot of information. I'm very thankful to all staff for working hard only and for us. I came to know that you often send some promotional items to your regular listeners. Thank you for your cooperation and hope for answers. Salam and warm greetings to you, MD Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh. And this greeting comes from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. We are thankful for hearing this email, the glad news you had that you liked the programs. And we wish you all the best. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And please accept our EQSL as verification, since sending any material on behalf of our radio in the time of pandemic, unfortunately, is not possible. Thank you again, MD Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh. And after a short break, I will be back with you. And let's go to the Southern Hemisphere, where we've received an email from Reginaldo Anuncioso from Brazil. Let's see what Reginaldo says. A happy new year 2023, and thank you for your sweet message on this very occasion. I should say that I am so happy these days, as I'm going to spend the holiday with my family and friends. Here in Brazil, Christmas is a little different because we are in the Southern Hemisphere and it's actually summer in Brazil. And not only the weather, but also the food and melodies are also different from the countries in the Northern Hemisphere. Thank you again for your beautiful message and Happy New Year to all the listeners. Salam and warm greetings to you. And I do appreciate you for this email. And we wish you peace, joy, love and good tidings in the new year 2023. And of course, we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Reginaldo Anuncioso from Brazil, who lives in Southern Hemisphere, and as you said, the weather, the food and melodies are very different from the countries in the Northern Hemisphere, and the atmosphere is in Christmas and the New Year is so different with the people who live in the Northern Hemisphere, just like those people who live in Australia and New Zealand and other countries in the Southern Hemisphere. It was great. Reginaldo Anuncioso from Brazil, write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. And here we come to the end of our program. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with Listeners Special and IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best. God bless and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
When we talk about our present Imam and the hope that we have, inshallah, that with his coming there will be justice and peace and tranquility in the world, this quest for peace is a universal issue. All people around the world, whether they believe in a religion or not, everybody talks about having peace. The only problem is that peace by itself is not an independent entity. It's actually a result of something else. It is the byproduct or the result of justice. To talk about peace, to search for peace without justice is a futile exercise. There will be no result at the end, because peace by itself doesn't exist in vacuum. You know, you have to bring about justice and then you will get the peace as the end result. You know, look at the biggest institution that we have in the world, United Nations Organization. Even there, when we talk about justice, it is not there. You look at the main powers who actually control that institution. There also, justice cannot be seen. You know, you look at the example of the United States of America, the major power of the world. Whenever they have their soldiers in different parts of the world, whether invited or uninvited, something happens to them. The families of the soldiers who suffered wherever they suffered will be allowed in U.S. court to make claim against assets of that country in U.S. But have you ever heard the other way around? Is U.S. ma'soom, infallible, hasn't done anything wrong? What about, for example, the Iran Air passenger airline and the passengers who died there coming from, you know, a short flight from Bandar Abbas to Dubai? You know, we don't hear anything about it. I don't know whether Iranians think about it or not, to go to the U.S. court and make claim against U.S. Navy, for example. that, you know, our family members were killed. And what will be the compensation there? And this is where we see that, you know, just to talk about peace, 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 without really bringing about the environment locally, internationally, on a global level for justice, you know, this is never going to happen. Because we have to realize that when we talk about justice or rights, you know, this is never a one-way street. Amir al-Mu'mineen, in one of his marvelous khutbas, and this is a khutbah where he actually talks about the mutual rights of the ruler and the citizens. From the reading that I have done of Islam, this is the first very clear explanation of the mutual rights of the hakim and mahkum. Never before that was this issue mentioned that clearly. Yes, it is based on the principles of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet, but a very clear explanation of that comes in that khutbah of Amir al-Mu'mineen. You know, it's amazing that this was a khutbah not given by him in Medina, in a peaceful environment, not in a university environment, not even in Kufa. You know where it was given? It was given in Siffin, where Ali actually was there to face the army of Muawiyah. In that environment, Ali finds time to deliver this very powerful message. And alhamdulillah, it has survived. It is there in Nahyu Balagha, if you look at khutbah number 216. And there he talks about it. He says, إِنَّ الْحَقِّ لَا يَجْرِ لِلْأَحَدٍ إِلَّا جَرَى عَلَيْهِ. He says, haq, when people talk about rights, it will never be in favor of one unless it is also against him. You know, haq has two sides of the coin. One side is your, you know, right. The other side is the duty attached to that right. It can't be only one way. وَلَا يَجْرِ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا جَرَى لَهُ. And no haq and right can go against you unless there is an equivalent right for you, in your favor. And so this is actually a mutual issue. You know, we have these family disputes many times we hear, and unfortunately, these are all Muslims, followers of the Ahlul Bayt. But you never hear that, okay, you know, I also have committed mistakes. It's always my right, my haq, from both sides, you know, inshallah. But you never hear this, you know, issue that, well, maybe there was something wrong. And this is where we have to realize that when we talk about haq and, you know, rights, it's not a one-way street. It goes on both ways. And this is what Amir al-Mu'mineen makes it very clear. And that is why he is known in the world as the symbol of justice. You look at the contemporary writer from Lebanon, a Christian writer writing about Amir al-Mu'mineen. The title he gives to the book is, you know, Ali Sawt al-Adalat al-Insaniya, Ali, the voice of human justice. And it's not only later people who have thought about Ali in that way. Actually, there was a lady from Yemen, a very prominent, powerful lady, as a poetess in her own right, a supporter of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And she was there actually in Siffin, composing poetry to encourage the soldiers of Ali to go and fight against Muawiyah. You know, things change. During the reign of Muawiyah, her tribe was facing some harassment from the officers of Muawiyah's administration, especially when it came to taking tax from them. And they actually requested her, because of her courage, that we would like you to go to Damascus, see Muawiyah, and lodge our complaint with him. She goes there, you know, and to make the story very short here, coming to the point, he showed his arrogance, uncaring attitude towards her and her tribe. And that is where she started reciting two lines of poetry. And where she says, صَلَّ الْعِلَاهِ إِلَىٰ رُوحٍ تَضَمَّنُهُ قَبْرٌ فَعَصْبَحَ فِيهِ الْعَدْلُ مَدْفُونًا. May Allah shower His blessings on the soul that when the grave took that soul in, that person in, justice was buried with him. فَقَدْ حَالَ فَالْحَقْ لَا يَبْغِي بِهِ ثَمَنًا فَصَارَ بِالْحَقِّ وَالْإِيمَانِ مَقْرُونًا. He had pledged with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he will not sell justice at any price. And so he became symbol of truth and iman. And Muawiyah says, whom are you referring to? She says, when I see your arrogance, your uncaring attitude towards your people, your citizens, I remember Ali. And I remember his example of justice. Because I took a similar situation to him, where he immediately raised his hands and he says, oh Allah, be witness, I did not ask my officers to believe in this way, to behave in this way. And he wrote the instructions recalling that officer to further investigate this case. And this is where we see that, you know, it's amazing the way she describes that when Ali was buried, justice was buried with Ali. We long for the day when the son of Ali will come and he will basically bring that treasure of justice again for the whole world, inshallah.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi. كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
In the U.S., a six-year-old student has been taken into custody after allegedly shooting his female teacher at Richneck Elementary School in Virginia. The student's identity has not been publicly released and the teacher is said to be in a critical condition. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. British newspaper The Daily Mail has covered the story and tells us more. A six-year-old boy has been taken into police custody after he allegedly deliberately shot his first-grade teacher at his Virginia elementary school, leaving her critically ill. Newport News police have taken a student who has not been publicly identified into custody. The unidentified female teacher, who is said to be in her 30s, was reportedly shot in the stomach and has been taken to Riverside Regional Medical Center in Virginia. The individual is a six-year-old student and is right now in police custody, Newport News Chief Scott Drew said at a press conference on Friday, 6th of January. This was not an accidental shooting, Scott Drew said. It was in a classroom. An altercation took place there, he said. We did not have a situation where someone was going around the school shooting. We had a situation in one particular location where a gunshot was fired. The incident unfolded at Ridgeneck Elementary School, a school for kids aged 5 to 9, just before 2 p.m. on Friday, 6th of January. No children were harmed and police are working to figure out how the child had access to the gun. A grandmother of one of the students told the Daily Mail that a student brought shiny gold bullets to school last week, but it is unclear if it's the same child who was taken into police custody today. The grandmother, who asked not to be named, said the child had allegedly brought bullets to school last week and said he would bring his gun. A parent told the school they did nothing. Now look, she wrote on Facebook. Speaking to the Daily Mail, she said, the parents outside stated that their child told them a kid brought golden shiny bullets to school and was thinking about bringing his gun. The student told the parent, who informed the school. And the school just yesterday got back to the parent saying the parent of the kid said it was a Nerf bullet, and the parent said Nerf bullets aren't shiny and they aren't gold. She was not positive if the child who brought the bullets is the same child allegedly involved in the shooting incident on Friday. The school, however, does have the capability of metal detecting students, Superintendent George Parker said at a press conference. They do not perform the test on every student every day, but said every school in the district has the capability to do so. When we have a perceived threat or issue, we do random metal detection on those days, Superintendent George Parker said on Friday, 6th of January. It is unclear if the school had enhanced testing after the bullet claim the week prior. Today, our students got a lesson in gun violence, Superintendent George Parker said. We need to keep the guns out of the hands of our young people. A British parent of one of the students who is currently based in the United States, as her husband is in the military, is now demanding the town do something about the gun problem. Guns, that's the biggest problem in this country, she told WTKR. Why is there a seven-year-old boy with a gun? How does a seven-year-old have a gun? I'm only here because my husband is in the military, otherwise I would not have chosen to come to this country. Superintendent George Parker said the school would be closed on Monday, 9th of January, to work on the mental health of our staff and students. The Australian Associated Press has also covered the same story and tells us more. A six-year-old boy allegedly shot and wounded a teacher at Ridgeneck Elementary School in Newport News, Virginia, United States, prompting consternation from local officials who vowed to find answers and prevent such an event from happening again. The injury to a teacher, a woman in her 30s, was considered life-threatening, although she had shown some improvement in her health in hospital, Police Chief Steve Drew told reporters. There was no further explanation of how the six-year-old boy had acquired the handgun. Police described it as an altercation in the first-grade classroom that resulted in one shot being fired. This was not an accidental shooting, Police Chief Steve Drew said. I want to know where that firearm came from. Police Chief Steve Drew said the boy was in police custody. No student was injured in the incident, but they had been moved to a gymnasium for their safety and counsellors have been made available, he said. They are safe, they are interacting with officers and having some fun, snapping some high fives and teasing each other, Drew said. Students were reunited with their parents under a school escort. Right now, it's still raw, but what I will tell you is there's going to be a full after-action report, not only internally from the city council with the school board and others, but we're going to ensure that we have the right steps and policies so that this doesn't happen again, Newport News Mayor Philip Jones told reporters. In the same news conference, school superintendent George Parker lamented educators' inability to keep guns out of schools, saying he was shocked and disheartened by the incident. We need to keep guns out of the hands of our young people, Superintendent George Parker said. I cannot control access to weapons. My teachers cannot control access to weapons. Superintendent George Parker said all school campuses are equipped for random metal detector searches, but they were not deployed at Richneck Elementary School on Friday, 6th of January 2023. You
have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird Utilsat 3B and Iran Sat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
A few strive in the cause of God, victory will definitely follow. The following is a part of the speech delivered on June 28, 2022, by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the head of the judiciary branch and a number of top officials and employees of the judiciary.
The fifth point is that no part of the powers or legal duties of the judiciary, as defined in the Constitution or related laws, should be suspended. No part of them should be suspended. For instance, the Attorney General has certain duties in the field of public law. He should have full knowledge of public law so that he can be sure that public rights are not violated. This should be taken very seriously, and the law must be resorted to wherever it felt that public rights are being violated. But I do not agree with the use of emotions and slogans in these cases. Rather, these matters should be taken care of in accordance with the law. This is an important task. There is also the issue of crime prevention. This is one of the duties of the judiciary and has been included in the Constitution. This matter must be taken seriously and not neglected at all. In the case of ordinary, everyday laws, the so-called conventional laws of the judiciary, I mean these laws that are about lands and which determine who each meter of land is owned by in cities and villages, these cases must come to a conclusion. They must be followed and finished up. If this is done, these land grabbers, these people who are thinking parts of the mountains and the like, will cease to exist. Land grabbing itself is another source of problems.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
The sixth point is that the type of relationship between the judiciary and the executive officers in the judiciary is very important. This must be considered from different angles. One aspect is that the conduct of the officers must be monitored and supervised. Well, he just gave an order. I heard on the television about some of the things the officers are doing. These things should not be done to the suspects. This is one of the things that needs to be taken care of. The behavior of the officers should not be exaggerated, excessive, and the like. Another aspect is that the judiciary should not be influenced by the opinion of the executive officers. It is true that executive officers are effective, important agents, and they have certain powers. They have opinions about people and about cases, but the judiciary must act independently and not be influenced by their views. This is also one aspect. The other side of the issue is that these same officers sometimes have expert opinions, which are based on their research. These expert opinions should not be ignored. The judiciary should use these expert opinions.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.